Do you ever play the game Balder Dash?
Yes.
Balder Dash is a game that you take a word out of the dictionary, or you know, get a cards too. We played it out of the dictionary. Pick a word out of the dictionary, quote the word, and then everyone in the room or groups of people would come up with a definition of what they thought that word was. And then the facilitator, or whosever turn it was to facilitate, would collect all the definitions, and then they would read them out loud to everyone, and then you would have to guess which one you thought was the right definition. If you got the right definition, obviously there were points for you. If you got you fooled someone else with your definition, then you have points as well. So the game went along until someone arrived at the end with the most points, and there was a little track you'd follow and go down the track, and whoever would win. When I saw this word this week, I was thinking this would be a good balderdash word. And not that everybody doesn't know some of these words, and because a balderdash, even people will know the word. And if you happen to write down the correct definition, there's extra points for that too, and obviously yours will be set aside, and you just get the golden crown for the round or whatever. So I don't know if everyone knows this word or everyone does not know this word, but until this week I did not know this word. So to me it was a balderdash word. It was a word it's very interesting. I think it could be a word for balderdash. And here's the word. It says somnambulate. Somnambulate. To me, I have to put the phonetical spelling down there because I would butcher it somehow. And so somnambulate, doesn't it sound like a balderdash word? I mean, just say, okay, everybody, somnambulate. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, somnambulate is this. S-O-M-N-U-S is Latin for sleep. It's somnax or unisom. We get the som there. And ambulate is to walk about. Okay, so somnambulate, it simply means to sleepwalk. Okay, so it's a sleepwalking thing, and sleepwalking is the act or state of walking, eating, or performing other motor acts while asleep, of which one is unaware upon awakening. And just so you know, I somnambulated many times in my life. Okay, I was a perpetual sleepwalker. Literally for the first 20 years of my life, I spent a lot of time on journeys that I was asleep. And we're not just talking going to the refrigerator. We're talking getting fully boots on, going to the barn, feeding cows, going up in the hay mow, opening up, throwing all the hay down for the cows, feeding 40 or 50 cows, four different rows, clear up in a 30-foot hay mow. Completely asleep, and doing all those things, and the last time really that I remember sleepwalking majorly was the night that Bethany was born, and then I was caught sleepwalking through the hospital, and the nurses were like, you know, where's this dude going? We don't have any idea, and where I would end up, I don't know, because often when I would wake up or somebody would wake me up, and all of a sudden you got this feeling, oh no, what have I done? And I can remember as a kid, my mom would always kid me with this. Someday you're going to end up at the neighbors in your underwear. Well, just so you know, we lived in the country, and a country neighbor is someone you can drive to in 5 minutes, right? So the neighbor that was the closest to us, the one who was always the threat, had five girls. And so for a seven-year-old that grew up in the Cold War, there was two things that I feared the most. The Russians were going to blow me up, and I was going to end up at the neighbors in my underwear. I was afraid of ending up at the neighbors in front of those five girls in my underwear. Over and over and over, I had walked around and ended up somewhere that I didn't know where I was going. And how I got there, I did not know. I was somnambulating. Ending up in your underwear somewhere in your underwear is not highly recommended. And we started the journey last week of stepping with God and walking with God. And how do we walk with God? It's not by somnambulating. It's not by sleepwalking. Stepping with God. And just to be clear, God does not expect us to walk around in our underwear. Okay, and that's not a quote from anyone other than me. I didn't glean that quote from anyone, but I'm fully expected, and I know that God does not expect me to walk around in my underwear. He expects me to be fully dressed when I am walking with Him. When I am stepping with God, He expects me to be dressed. And so we started the journey last week of how do I step with God? Because I got to want to step with God. I get it. We got to have a desire to step with God. We've been on a journey here to have how do I live an unregretted life? And part of that journey that we've been on, the final portion is stepping with God. As I step with God, I will not regret my life or the actions in my life. I want to be fully dressed in walking with God and stepping with God. And as I step with God, I will live an unregretted life. And so I would encourage anyone that's young right now to start now so you don't have to undo the regrets of a past life. The longer you don't walk with God, the bigger the regrets are going to get in your life. The longer you do not walk with God, the bigger of the pile of regrets you're going to have to deal with. Now, don't worry. God will help you deal with those regrets. I'm learning that in my life as well. But if you can prevent having a whole pile of regrets, it'll save you a lot of energy. Because every regret you have is an injury on someone else. And so now you don't only regret it, but now they're wounded. And so we have wounded someone, and we have a pile of regrets to deal with. Stepping with God will help us or cancel out those regrets. You will never regret stepping with God. Even if it costs you your life, you will not regret stepping with God. God doesn't have regret in His dictionary. Walking with God, stepping with God, will enable us to have a regret-free life. So we started last week about stepping with, how do I step with God? And we had this picture up. And stepping with God takes hearing from God. We got to hear from God so we can step with God. Because God, just like the coach on the sideline, calling in the plays to those that are in the game is important. And when the noise gets loud around us, we begin to not know if we can hear God. And when they put their hands over the holes in their helmets, it's not only to cancel out the noise from the outside, it's so they can focus on the noise that's going in, what the coach is saying to them. Because they are determined to play the play that the coach has called in. And we have a capital C coach who's calling in a play over and over every minute of every day. He's calling in a play into your life. And the noise of this world, which we dug into a little last week, the noise of this world wants to block that out. So that you cannot step with God. Why? So you can end up with a big pile of regrets and a whole bunch of wounds of other people. Stepping with God takes hearing from God. The actions from on the field are being called in by the coach. We need heavenly direction to our earthly steps. We need heavenly direction to our earthly steps. If we do not have heavenly direction to our earthly steps, then we're just going to spin the wheel and go whichever way it goes. But God says, now wait a minute, I have a direction. I know there's other directions, but I got a direction for you. You need to hear the play from me. Colossians 3 is where we were, and since you have been raised with Christ, and we talked about that a little bit last week, and He has given you the helmet of salvation. He has given you, I believe, the helmet with the communication in it already. The communication so you can get the play from God. Why? So I can step with God. So I can walk with God on this earth in the here and now, not just wait till some eternal dwelling. But today I can walk with God. And so He gives me the helmet of salvation, but yet He leaves me here on this earth
because he's got play for me. He's got a play for me. He's got a purpose for me. He's got a call to make in my life. And he wants to make that, and he is making that, but the noise of this world gets so loud sometimes that I can't hear God. And God says, I want you to hear me so much. Set your... Since then you have been raised with Christ. Take this helmet of salvation. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Just set to seek in order to find by thinking and meditating and reasoning, covering the ear holes in your helmet and closing your eyes and listen intently. You can hear God. I'm telling you, you can. God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us right into our inner self. Set your hearts, he says. It's not going to be easy. Set your hearts. In verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above. Set it there. Think about it. Get it to it. Get to it. You can do it. You can hear me. God, why don't you just shut up the world? Because I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to give you the ability to hear me. And I'll show you how miraculous I am. And even in all the noise of this world, you can hear me. I can call the play into you. And you can step with me. And you and I can walk hand in hand through this world. And someday I'll take you in my hand. And I'll take you all the way home. How about it? Take you all the way home. So that you will know that you've walked with me all the time. But don't wait for that victory in your life. Get it now, he says. I'm calling to play in right now. I want you to walk with me. Set your minds and set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Set it and keep setting it there. And last week we unpacked a little bit more of this passage. And I think that walking with God sometimes takes a disrobing. We need to take off some stuff, and that's what he's telling us. He's telling us in verse 5, he says, take off some stuff. Stepping with God takes disrobing. Stepping with God takes hearing God. Stepping with God takes disrobing sometimes. You got to take off some stuff. You got to get rid of some stuff in your life. You got to get rid of it because it's just all jacked up in your life. So let me give you the power, let me call into play that you got to take that off. It's killing you. It's killing you. And I don't want that for you. I want you to live. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Put it to death. Take it off. Kill it before it kills you. Sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, and which is idolatry. Take it off. Kill it. Get rid of it. And verses 6 and 7 says this, because of these, you're not going to find yourself walking with God. You're going to find yourself walking in opposition to God. And you don't want to find yourself walking in opposition to God. Take it off. I think I just popped my buttons. Take it off. The first place sometimes when I say, God, I want to come into your presence, sometimes it's like Isaiah, and all of a sudden I start hearing what I need to take off. You need to disrobe, he says. You need to let me have those things because you're going to find yourself battling against me, and you don't want that battle. You think battling against the enemy is hard? Battling against the world? Battling against the flesh is difficult? Try battling with me, God says. That's a battle you cannot win. And you don't have to think other than you can get rid of it and not battle against me. But you can actually, listen, New Life, you can actually step with God. Because he's calling in the plays. He continues in verse 8, and then you must rid yourself of these other things that are just killing you. Just rid yourself of these things. Take them off. Get them off. In verses 9 and 10, it says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self and its practices. Put on the new self. You got to put on some stuff. I don't want you to be caught in your underwear. But you're going to need to lose some of the stuff that you're trying to walk around in this world with. You're trying to walk around with all this stuff and you find yourself kicking against me and you can't win that battle. But let me help you get that out of your way so that you can hear from me and you can walk with me. Verse 11 says this, in here, in this situation, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and he is in all. You're all in the same boat. There is no difference. You are whoever, you can be a whoever. I don't care if you're a Scythian or if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're a barbarian or if you're a Greek. I don't care if you're a circumcised or uncircumcised. I don't care if you're one of the covenant or not one of the covenant. You can become one of the covenant. And you can hear from me and you can walk with me. You don't have to walk long enough in the right actions to hear from me. You can hear from me moments when I come into your life. How about it? Woo! And then verse 12. Just so you know, that was all rerun from last week. Verse 12 says this, but don't get caught in your underwear. That's my definition of verse 12. Dressed to step. Stepping with God takes special attire. Stepping with God takes hearing from God. Stepping with God takes disrobing. And stepping with God takes special attire. Because I need you to have this dress on. I need you to be wearing something. You're not just somnambulating out in this world. You're not just sleepwalking and hopefully someday you'll wake up. No, you got a purpose, and you need to be dressed for that purpose. He says this in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. A few weeks ago, we talked about rejoicing in his choosing. You know you're chosen by God? And God chooses all first-round draft choices. You're not 30th round. You're not the kid at the end of the baseball line that, or the kickball line that's just hoping you aren't chosen last. God says, I chose you. And we unpacked that a little bit the other week. We said, chosen to do what? He has chosen you to receive spirit power. He has chosen you to stand in victory. He has chosen you to be the handed, a shield of victory. He has chosen you to carry the sword of the Spirit. This is where I wish I was one of those TV guys that could speak on the inhale and exhale. He's chose you to wear the armor of God. He's chose you to go from strength to strength. He's chose you to carry the treasure. You are the one who has the treasure, and you're going with it. He's put it in you. He chose you to carry the treasure. He has chose you to have great authority. He has chose you to have access to the presence of God. He has chose you to touch heaven. He has chose you to bring heaven to earth. He said, now wait a minute, you're not just whistling Dixie. You're my chosen people. Come on, I got something for you. I want you to be dressed for the occasion because you're my chosen people. I don't send my people that are chosen for that out in their underwear. You're chosen to bring heaven to earth, and you're chosen to be the private property of God. You're chosen to be a proclaimer of God himself. You're chosen to know that light defeats darkness. And you are chosen to be dressed for the occasion. He said, you're my chosen people. Step up to the closet and get dressed for success. He said, you're my chosen people. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy or set apart, or the garments fit your body style. Do you ever go to the store and say, man, I wear a 36 here and I wear a 34 over here, and then I wish I had a 35. Then I wish I had, I wear a large here, and then I wear an extra large over here, and then I'm over here, and I'm two or three extra large, but wait a minute, why don't the large fit me in this store and in that store, and why don't the 34s fit me here, and the 34s fit me over here? I just can't order them offline. God says, now wait a minute, you're my chosen people, and I've given you a holy body style. These clothes fit you. They're dressed for success. My chosen, therefore, my chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And these are you, these garments are garments that are handmade by the one who loves you dearly. He said, I want you to put these on. You can't do what I ask you to do. You can't step with me through this world if you're in your underwear. So somnambulate out the door. Wake up, church. Wake up and get dressed. And just so you know, we can talk about the armor of God right here. The armor of God gets you through the enemy. These clothes get you into the workings of God. So once the armor of God has broke down the wall and you've come through the schemes of the enemy, you need this attire on, because you need what God has provided, what fits your body style, and what the holy and dearly loved one hand sewed for you. And over the weeks to come, I would really like to unpack each one of these a little bit more. I'm just led that way. I think we're going to do it. But just let me read the recipe today. He said, I want you to be clothed with compassion, or this tender sympathy of heartfelt concern. If you're reading from the King James, it says, bowels of mercy. Down in your inner gut, down in the center of who you are, you got to put something down deep inside of you. It's got to be mercy. It's got to be compassion. I want to do something in your life, and I want to do something through your life, and I want you to score over and over. I want you to walk with me, and I want you to breathe me into this world, but you got to have something down deep. It's compassion you got to have. Those that are saturated, which is you and me as believers in Jesus Christ, that are saturated in mercy ought to be bleeding mercy, but I don't think we are. And I wrote this in my thinking book this week. At times, I think we are more driven by the thought of holding people's feet to the fire rather than we are by the truth that we can warm them with the fire. And God says, I want to put something in you that you can warm people with the fire that I'm putting in you, because people are cold. They're cold. They're freezing to death. They're lonely. They got no one. Let me put that inside of you, that fire, that compassion, that mercy inside of you that you can warm others with. It's called compassion. You think you can step with me with a judgmental spirit? You can't. You need to take that off. You need to let go of that. You need compassion. Well, they need their feet held to the fire. Why don't you warm them by the fire for a while before you worry about where their feet are? You need to be clothed with compassion. You need to be clothed with kindness, or that compassionate act. That's the outcry of that compassion that's inside of you. It's the bowels of mercy coming out your hand, is kindness. The courtesy, polite, and considerate action. He said, I want you to clothe yourself with humility. I want you to have a proper understanding of who you are. There is a God and you ain't him. And there is a son, but it doesn't rise on your call. There is children of God and you are them. And there are those who walk in the power and you're them too. Just don't try to play God. But don't think being weak and feeble is something that's the humility comes out because I'm weak and feeble. We are not weak and feeble. We are the children of the Most High God. You are a daughter of the King. You are a son of the King. You are a part of the heavenly priesthood. You are not weak and feeble as believers in Jesus Christ. But you ain't God, and you don't get to command the Son. But you walk in power, and you walk as a child of God. And that the humility is those who know their position in Christ and are not afraid to walk in their position in Christ. So you need to be humble. I can't wait to unpack that one some more. I'm like biting my tongue because I want to unpack it some more to just know. Because sometimes I get the feeling, oh, I got to be this weak. I got to drag my foot along this world and be humble. That's a bunch of hoo-ha. There's another balderdash word, if it's even a word, right? Hoo-ha. In Tioga County, I'm telling you right now, that's a word. He said you need to clothe yourself with humility. You need to clothe yourself with gentleness. And the definition of gentleness is this: a mildness and kindness and power wrapped in perfect mix. Don't you love that definition? There is a mildness and a kindness and a power, and when you mix them together, they're gentleness. I want to unpack that one some more in the future. Because I want to know what kind of clothes I'm supposed to be wearing and what kind of clothes God's putting on me so that when I start feeling the bowels of mercy for someone and I can know that's God. That's God. Don't take that off. Let it be. Let it be. Let that kindness come out. Let that gentleness come out. Let that humility come out of my life because I'm stepping with God and God has put me in places that need these things. Don't you love it when God is compassionate and he gives you the ability to be compassionate? He's not a hoarder. Do you ever watch that Pickers? Those two dudes drive around and they try to buy stuff from people. Well, I've had that 85 years and it's in a rust pile and I think I'll keep that. What in the world is wrong with you? If you have had that for 85 years and it's rusted down, guess what? You ain't doing anything with it. Get it to someone who can. I mean, I have to eat while I'm watching that show. I'm going to bite my tongue. It just drives me crazy. God says, no, I'm not that way. I got a storehouse of compassion. I got a storehouse of gentleness. And I'm going to pour it on you. And I'm going to dress you in it so you can look like me. So you, when you walk with me, you score over and over and over and over. And you're going to need to wear patience. And patience is a steady response to in the face of irritation. And just so you know, in my notes here, I have in parentheses, positive response. Because you can have a steady response. It's not positive. That's not patience. Okay? You can be a grouch continuously. That's not I'm being patient. Grouchiness. No, that doesn't work. It's this steady, positive response in the face of irritation. Don't you just love it when God says, you're going to need this? You may want to put this on because you're going to be irritated and irritated. God, why don't you just do something with the irritation? I did. I gave you patience. Can we get a vote on that, God? Can we be like, ooh, is this a good time for fire from heaven? You know, this is a John and James call, you know. We're going to have the first church of John and James, right? We'll call fire down from heaven and suck them up, God. You know, you don't get too many first churches of John and James, do you? They didn't like the Samaritan people. Just zap them away. God says, how about if I did? That's a whole new message. But how? God says, I got something for you. You're going to be able to face the irritations. It's called patience. You're not wearing them. That's the problem. And he continues, and he says, bear with one another, with each other with forgiveness, and forgive whatever grievances you have. Sometimes I think I have a hard time forgiving because I'm not wearing forgiveness. He said, you're going to forgive. You're going to have the ability to forgive whatever grievances that are out there. Can you imagine that? What is coming at you, you can forgive because God is dressing you in forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? I can't forgive God. Put on the shirt called forgiveness and watch what happens. You can forgive that. And he continues in the passage with 14. He says this, over all these virtues put on love, which binds together in perfect unity. He said, I want you to wear love as an outer coat. And he continues in the passage, and just reading the recipe, we're not necessarily making the dish or explaining each ingredient right now, but we're reading the recipe. And he said, I want you to have forgiveness, and I want you to wear love, and I want you to wear peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And that confidence in God. Be confident in God. Have that peace with God. And then he goes on to say, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word dwell in you richly. You need to wear the word. Look at the closet full of clothes that are fit us by a God who loves us, by a God who made our body styles to fit the clothes that he has for us. And he has chosen us to wear these clothes. And he's chosen us to hear his voice and to dress for success. Woo! Can you imagine? Push the button, please. 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you're going to do it in the name. Now you're going to wear the name. You're going to wear the name of Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. You're going to wear thanksgiving. You're going to wear the name of Jesus. You're going to wear the word of God. You're going to wear forgiveness. You're going to wear patience. And you're going to step with God because where God puts us, we need to be dressed like that. Stop somnambulating, church, and ending up in your underwear. Unprepared for where God wants to put us. Push the button, please. Kindness, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, the word, the name, and thanksgiving. Now that's attire to walk with God with. Can you imagine this? Let your mind's eye do this. You go to your closet and you open it up and all the clothes fit. Can you imagine that? All the clothes fit. And just let me uncap just a little bit, a couple more verses, because you know what verse 18 is in here? It talks about wives and husbands and the marriage. It talks about children, parents, and fathers. It talks about the family. And it talks about slaves and masters, or our work and our service. That's immediately following being dressed for success. He wants to dress you for success in your marriage. He wants to dress you for success in your family. He wants to dress you for success in your work on this world and service to him. He wants you dressed for success, New Life. He wants us dressed for success. Stand with me today. God, you're an amazing God, and the more that I walk with you and the more that I hear from you, the more I am infatuated with you, God. And seeing what you've done in my life and thinking that you have provided all these things for me to hear from you and to hear from you, to step with you and to be dressed for success in you. God, you so want the church to be dressed like this so that you can place them and will place them in multiple places around this world, in multiple places around this body, in multiple places in the workplace, in multiple places in our community and in our families. And we're going to be able to do the play, run the play that's called in by God, fully dressed.
God, I thank you so much. I thank you that I don't have to run around this world in my underwear, but I am dressed to step with you. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.